the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our reviews of the player cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. This is part 4 of our look at the survivor cards in the box. On this episode, we are going to discuss a chance encounter at level 2, snare trap level 2, infighting level 3, and true survivor level 3. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or cards that are good in one particular deck get a Bless Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the list of taboos or are simply bad for the big game get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. You all rock. If you'd like to be amazing like these people and support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty, Nicole Fiscus, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for their contributions to the channel. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. We are making our way through the survivor cards from the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. This is part 4. We are going to start off with a chance encounter, level 2. It is an event with the cost of X. It has one willpower and one intellect skill icon. The fortune trait, choose an ally asset with printed resource cost X in any player's discard pile. Put that asset into play under your control. Now, I have played the level 0 version of this card to great effect with the red-gloved man. I have not felt the need to upgrade it, though, to this one. Probably because, as a solo player, there are no other discard piles to snatch allies from. And usually if you lose the one ally, you can just play your second copy most of the time. What do you guys think about this one?
Yeah, I think your analysis in solo is pretty spot on. However, in multiplayer, you can do some pretty cool things with this card.
Yeah, I just like it as like a way to generate more soak for yourself. You know, because like it means you can lose like a key ally and then bring it back. Because you know, sometimes Peter Sylvester bites the dust. But I'm not thinking survivor allies. I'm thinking like big fat ones like Greta.
You know, agency just... backup.
Agency back. Oh, that's a 7 call. You have to spend 7 to bring it back, but it's totally worth it. Yeah,
if you're Bob or something.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I was gonna say there's got to be some investigator that really wants to do something like that. I'm sure Tommy could do it. I'm sure.
In my experience, Preston Fairmont, because you got the money to steal everyone else's allies.
Yep. Yeah, Preston would be a great choice because he needs all the stats he can get.
Yep. Yeah, so it's a fun card. Like I've used it like pretty decently. I think I used it in a couple of Lola decks actually, just so I can like have more flexibility about which ally I have out at the time. And I think I had like 6 allies in that deck or something.
It's also nice specifically in Ashcan Pete because you have Duke, and when Duke goes bye bye, you get Duke back. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, because he can't really. He doesn't have a lot of ways to get Duke back because he can't use Resourceful.
Right.
He can't use Scrounge for Supplies because Duke has no card level, right? So he's stuck either cycling his deck all the way or using this. That's actually pretty good. Yeah, because losing Duke that sucks.
It's basically your whole deck, yeah. So
yeah, like, and if it's not your whole deck, it could have been. Like, you could have your whole deck based on using Duke.
Yeah, I do find that when I do play Ashcan P, I do at least consider this card. Whether I include it or not, I am at least considering this, at least a one of.
Just and it's not like reason. And it's not a crazy amount of XP. It's not like it's 5. You know, you don't have to. It's still like in that range where you can just splash it in there.
Yeah, especially in Ashcan Pete, you always have fodder for cards that aren't useful in your hand, so it's like, okay, cool. Like, I don't need this in this game. I'll pitch it to Ready Duke again and then I'm good to go.
Yeah, I also like how Chance Encounter it kind of synergizes naturally with things that dump cards in your discard pile. I'm thinking, like, what's it, the short on supplies? Oh yeah, to Patrisse too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking
Yep.
like short on supplies, which dumps things into your discard pile. Yeah, and so this is a way to get them back. And yeah, so I feel like this card is like another one. It's kind of like a Test of Will, where it's kind of like underrated.
It's a,
I
I
would
think
say.
it's a really solid one of. I think the
Yeah.
problem is that an effect like this is not something you need too much of. And
Right.
it's not
Yeah,
something
that's
you
true.
probably even need every game.
Yeah, that's true.
But
That's
man,
true.
when you need it, it's really nice to have.
Yeah, it's nice to bring back like the Black Cat, for example, you know, because like you got a pile of soak and you're kind of encouraged to put damage and horror on the Black Cat. So you can use this to like recycle your Black Cat. Yeah, this is very not bad.
How would we rate this one?
I think I'm gonna land on a zero for it. I like it. It's a nice one of. It's always a card I'm considering in a lot of Survivor decks simply because I probably want some key ally in play most of the time. And being able to do silly things with my fellow investigators' allies is also kind of fun. So whether or not you're doing it for that reason, I don't know. It's always one of those cards that I like having the option, and it's a wholly unique effect for the most part.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So if you want
Yeah.
an effect like this, this is really kind of
This
your
is
only
the
option, even to
go-to.
this point, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, for that reason, I think I'm going to give this a plus one because I think it synergizes with a lot of other things survivors like to do. The fact that it can recycle Big Soak is like really nice. Yeah, and the fact that it's kind of the only thing of its kind and can really bail you out. And the XP cost is not too much. Like it's two and not like four or five. Like I think I'm going to give this one because I think like you could consider this in like basically any survivor deck with allies. Yeah.
It's a very splashable card.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to, and as usual though, it's a utility card, so it's always hard to like justify utility slots in this game, but this is a good one.
Yeah, I find this one a difficult one to rate from a solo perspective because when I'm playing solo, I tend to try to finish scenarios as fast as possible, and so I rarely need to get an ally back because I've usually got a second copy. Say if I lose my Peter Sylvester by some off chance, I'll probably have a second copy coming down, so I don't need this. I would definitely consider if you're terrified of losing Duke, then having one copy of this in your Ashcan Pete deck is provides that protection in case you get off to some horrible start and just you have to sack Duke or you're done. This is the one way you can get Duke back. The level zero version will get Duke back for a turn, but that's obviously you want Duke on the table for a lot longer than that. I think I'll land on a zero. I can't give it lower than a zero because it is quite powerful, the effect, and it is unique.
You can also think of this thing as like your third copy of Peter Sylvester. You know,
True.
because you were saying in solo, like you lose a Peter Sylvester, you've got a second copy. Well, this is like your third copy at that point. So, which point? It's like, do you want a third Peter Sylvester? This is what you want. Yeah. And also, there are treasuries that could, like, you can end up discarding Peter Sylvester from your hand. You can end up discarding it from the top of your deck.
A
And then at
direct
which point?
damage.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. And then you're gonna feel good that that you have this third copy to like bring it back.
The next card we're going to talk about is Snare Trap. It's a two-cost event with two experience points, willpower, and agility skill icon. Trap improvised, attached to your location, limit one per location. Forced, after a non-elite enemy enters attached location, exhaust that enemy, disengage it from all investigators, and attach Snare Trap to it. Forced, when the attached enemy would ready, instead discard Snare Trap. I have not played this card.
I
It's
have
so
none either. You
expensive.
have to have like a very specific target for this. If you could target elites with it, man, it would be a lot more useful, but you can't.
Absolutely would.
So
Yeah, it also
basically you need
doesn't.
a non-elite hunter.
Yes.
Does it help you out if the non-elite enemy spawns at your location?
Think so?
Yeah, but even then, honestly, like I feel like because it
Eh.
costs an action and 2 XP, like honestly, hiding spot kind of gets the job done.
In the same set, no less. It's like, yeah. And it has better icons. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Really, you're not doing this card any favors. Sure, I guess it like traps the enemy for an extra turn, but like you never need that extra turn.
That is a nice part. And also like locking an enemy for a round is starting to become a little, I think it's getting a bit better nowadays. Like you have Forgotten Age, you have Slip Away, which is like clutch. You know, I think it's not as good as like breaking and entering, but it's pretty clutch. And then Scarlet Keys did Disguise Kit, which also like, or is it just Disguise that just locks an enemy for a turn? And
yeah, it's that's Disguise.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like this one is just, the problem with this one is you got to predict. You got to predict what's coming, and you just can't do that. You know, and it also costs an action, and it's XP, and honestly, yeah. Hiding Spot just kind of gets the job done.
And yeah. Hiding Spot is fast. Like, man,
and
like.
Hiding Spot is fast. Yeah. Yeah. And Hiding Spot, you can put it anywhere. That's like actually one of the best parts of it, is you can just drop it anywhere as a fast action.
Oh, yeah, this is attached to your location. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Man,
exactly.
I'm just rating this thing an autofail. Just get it out of here.
Get it out of here. Just honestly, if they just took Hiding Spot, made it level two, and gave it the whole lock it for a turn effect, it would be like pretty good. But it doesn't do any of that, so autofail it. Get it out of here.
Yeah, this card has always felt to me like you're spending two resources, two XP, a card, an action. You've got to predict the appearance of an enemy, and then you just lock it for a turn. It just seems like so much effort for not a whole lot of effect. This one will also get an auto fail from me. I think there was that card that is it to who can play around with traps now? Ashcan, alternate Ashcan?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. I think it has something to do with like traps or improvised cards or something like that. But it doesn't change the fact that it costs 2 XP and an action. That's for sure. Yeah.
Plus, like you're playing parallel Ashcan for his guitar and all the stupid things you can do with the guitar, like.
And the guitar does what snare trap does already, just send an enemy away
for free.
For free.
Let's
that
not go down
so
that
broke.
Rabbit hole.
The card is
oh
so
my
broken.
God.
Oh my god.
Yes, that if Pete's guitar is a curse token, then this is the exact opposite of that. Yeah, and I think in multiplayer, it's just like, if this non-elite enemy shows up, you know, somebody's probably just going to kill it. You're not going to want to trap it. The guardian or whoever is in charge of enemy management, but just like, just give that thing here and I'll just destroy it and then we'll move on.
Yeah, it's a deck type that's like forever going to be a curiosity. And it seems interesting. It's like, oh, I'm going to make the traps work. And then you realize you don't have to put that much effort into it, and the traps are all expensive XP wise, and it's like, what am I doing with my life? Just play Hiding Spot.
The next card is Infighting. It is a one cost event that has 3 XP, so basically top of the curve for most survivor cards. 2 intellect and 2 agility skill icons. The trick trait, fast, play after the enemy phase begins. Cancel all attacks made by non-elite enemies against you this phase. Again, here is a another card I have never felt the need to spend 3 XP on.
If it costs 1 XP and I was playing Dream Eaters,
because
there are situations where the Cats of Saturn get really gross, and this is the exact card to deal with that, but when you get to that point in that campaign, if that's your problem, you have lots of other problems, generally speaking.
Yeah, this is one of those where, like, and I think it's one of those cards where, like, it was designed for the ideal case in which you had 5 enemies swarming you, and it's like, oh my god, I did it, you know? But, like, there are already cards that bail you out in those situations, and they don't cost 3 XP. I'm thinking, like, Cunning Distraction that nobody plays from the core set, you know?
Doesn't Oops, like, hit? Like, doesn't the enemy hit the other enemy? And
that's
it's like, wouldn't
oops.
You rather
yeah,
do
right.
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't you Let's rather do that. Do that?
Yeah, there's like, or I am a big fan of Survival Instinct, level 2 version, because it evades everything and it doesn't cost it. Sure, it's 2 XP, but it evades everything, which is like actually what you want.
This is another get it out of here. Get it out of here.
So I wouldn't call this like get it out of here, because I think there's one, there's some neat niche to this thing. Is that, okay, it says cancel all attacks made by non-elite enemies against you this phase. That could be the investigator phase. So there might be some trick plays with this where you just like suck up a bunch of AOOs.
You have to play it after the enemy phase begins.
Oh, mm-hmm. God damn it. Get it out of here. Come on.
Yeah, see,
I tried. I really tried there. And I was like, it would be niche if it was any phase. But it's like, oh, this is terrible. Get it out of here.
Yeah, it's bad.
The problem with this in solo is that, okay, say you have two or three enemies on you. You cancel the attacks for a turn. You haven't solved the problem that's going to kill you. You still have the three enemies to deal with. So, sure, you've not taken any damage or horror this turn, but you still need to either kill the enemies or evade them, and I would much rather have a card that can evade all those enemies and I can move away and then say if one of those enemies is going to chase me, okay, now I can deal with that one enemy. The attacks are not my main concern. And so this is
the engagements.
Like, why would you bother playing this when it doesn't solve the problem that you're going to have in solo?
Yeah, this is why I like Survival Instinct level 2 a lot, because that one can like actually bail you out of that exact situation by having you evade everything in one action, and you get to free move out of it. So yeah, that one actually you're out of trouble. This, you're not out of trouble.
In fact, I think if you are forced to play this card, you're probably dead.
Yeah, you're probably already like
you're just
prolonging
waiting,
your death
yeah,
by one
you're just
turn.
You're gonna prolong your death by one turn, and then you're gonna die. Yeah. Doesn't Hiding Spot fix this problem too?
It helps. It helps kinda, because you can kind of like, because the thing about Hiding Spot is you could like put it down, evade something, exhaust it, kick it into the hiding spot, so it doesn't re-engage you. So like that, you actually are more you are more towards solving the problem by just using Hiding Spot and evading than by using this. Yeah, you could always, I mean, you could just spend 2 XP and Versatile in a Dynamite Blast, and then you have a different problem.
So if you think that canceling all attacks is going to save you, it will for that one enemy phase, but it does not solve the bigger problem that you are going to have to deal with. There are other cards that are much much better at solving the problem, and so I would not waste 3 XP on this. God forbid 6 XP. Holy crow, that would be... This one gets an auto fail, I think, across the board. So unfortunately not a great card for survivors. We do have one left, however, that being True Survivor, 3 cost event that has 3 XP spirit trait, return 3 innate skills from your discard pile to your hand. Thoughts on True Survivor?
This card does facilitate a lot of silly nonsense. And so we do have to recognize that.
Yeah, there's silly stuff you can do with it, but...
But as far as silly stuff in this game, it's...
Yeah, it's pretty tame.
It's pretty tame, yeah.
Yeah, because it costs an action. You can't just fast this thing out all the time.
Yeah, and it's like, you gotta, like, set up this whole loop to get the right skills, and you're doing a bunch... Like, there's like, always this chance of drawing the auto fail unless you're including, Will to Survive and doing all that. And it's a lot of work for pretty quote-unquote minimal effect, but
yeah, so I kind of like this thing because, like, by the numbers, it's so at this point, at least especially at this point in the card pool, survivors don't have a lot of draw. So if you look at it as spend 3, draw 3 cards that you know what they are, you know, from your discard pile, you know, that's actually pretty good by the numbers. Because the innate skill pool is actually like pretty good.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, because you've got things like, I'm just going down, doing down the list. If you have access to daring, that's super good. And that also like help you. That also draws you more cards. Eureka, if you have access to that, Let's see, just going through Gumption from Scarlet Keys. Guts, always good to have more guts. Manual Dexterity, Nimble, neither rain nor snow if you're Stella Clark. Hey, that's actually a really good use of this, by the way. Drawing three more, drawing into your rain, recycling your neither rain nor snows. That's pretty good. Oh, this can bring back Resourceful for more silly stuff. Yeah, I'm just looking through this. I'm just looking through like the list of like good innate cards, and being able to draw three of them for an action is like actually pretty good. Sharp Vision, Brute Force, Unexpected Courage, Take Heart, and Survival Instinct, which I talked about earlier. Yeah, these are like pretty good cards, and the fact that you could draw three of them is for an action is actually not bad. Yeah.
I think the only thing holding this card back at this stage of the game was the fact that it costs three resources, because a lot of players were playing that Ashcan Pete deck where you're running very low on resources or you're
Yeah.
running Dark Horse, and so you don't necessarily have the resources to play for this thing. But I think as the Survivor playstyle has moved away from that, you at least
Yeah.
have more options, and so something like this, especially in Investigator, who's primarily about skills like Silas, this is something you can consider. And I mean, Silas is already getting skills back from his discard pile, but you
Yeah.
need to draw an Elder Sign to do that. This just gets
Oh,
them
that's right.
back.
Yeah, plus doesn't Silas have access to level 0 to 2 innates already? So like this is he's like the ideal user
Yeah.
of this. Wasn't he the source of like the shenanigans you were talking about, Nate? It was like, yeah, being able to like recycle your defiances and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was one of the first investigators that had like a diverse enough card pool to facilitate that too.
Oh yeah, because he could run quick thinking. That's
Yeah,
right.
because he has access to all the innate skills, yeah.
So yeah, I guess what I'm saying is like even without like Silas shenanigans, I think this, like by the numbers value, this is pretty good.
How would we rate this one?
I don't know. It's tough because it's like it's a cool card, but it's not a card I play very often. Because
Yeah,
it
it's
is,
really it's kind of dependent on your card pool, I gotta be honest.
yeah, and your deck really. Like, are you playing enough innate skills that you want to be returning? If the answer to that question is maybe or no, then you're probably not wanting to include this. And then it
Three
costs
cost
three
is quite a bit.
resources. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think I'll land on a zero. I think at 3 XP, it's tough. Like, I could see
Yeah.
plus one, too.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna. It's also kind of investigator dependent because if you're an investigator that has access to card draw from your off class, then this starts to like look less and less good. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, because so it's dependent on your card pool. It's dependent on what else you have access to, you know, as you know from your survivor's deck building. Yeah, I think I'm gonna give this a zero as well. Because it's kind of dependent on your investigator. It's kind of dependent on your card pool. Yeah, you kind of have to have like a good 6 to 8 at least, like innate skills in order to make this work. All right, so if you don't have access to good card draw, yeah, and you're running innate skills because there are a lot of good ones. Yeah, this is actually pretty good, but it's not like Cryptic Research or anything like that, right? It works, but it's kind of expensive, like XP wise and cost wise. So yeah, I think I'm gonna give this a zero. It's worth considering.
I think I'm going to go bless on this one. It's not really a card you're going to build your deck around, but I think there's a lot of other factors that you have to consider before you include a card like this, including the investigator you're playing and whether you've got enough innate skills in your deck. If neither of those two things are true, then you're probably not going to give this a second look. Certainly not at 3 XP. But if you are playing a lot of innate skills and you have an investigator that can leverage them, then it's worth considering in that particular build. But I think if you're playing, like if you're limited in your sets, like if you basically you're up to Path to Carcosa, it's likely you're playing the low resource, in which case this one probably isn't going to make the cut because you're never going to have the three resources to play it. This one, I think, gets probably better the more your card pool grows, so you have more better access to more innate skills and better access to investigators who aren't necessarily interested in just slapping Madame LaBranche on the table and running with as few resources as possible. That's going to do it for our look at the survivor cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Any final thoughts on the survivor cards in this box?
Overall, man, the survivors make out pretty well in this box, I would say. You know, yeah, you get
Madame
Hiding Spot, Madame LaBranche, Plucky, Resourceful.
The Keepsake.
Yep, Cherish Keepsake. Kind of looking through the list. It, there's a solid selection of cards here. There are some duds, for sure, but...
That's true.
You know, every card game has its duds.
That's true. Yeah, like, just between Cherish Keepsake and Madame LaBranche alone, those were two, like, really important cards for Survivor to get at this point. But then it's got some, like, pretty good ones, like Plucky's in there. I like Plucky. Yeah, and I think we've got a challenge to... You know, take another look at a Test of Will and give that a try. Yeah, but then, of course, you've got duds like Snare Trap. Get it out of here.
Yeah, Survivor's made out very well in this set. I mean, you've got the Cherished Keepsake, you've got Madame LaBranche, you've got Hiding Spot, you've got Resourceful, which is borderline busted.
Yeah.
And you've got even cards like Fight or Flight, which I play a lot in my... Agnes deck have found a place, and you can't really complain. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.